Maybe I should put it to you this way, that the constellation of September 23rd, I strongly believe, will be the beginning of the new covenant. The new covenant will begin to begin. It is true that as a nation, Israel is going to come through in a day. Jesus said, shall a nation be born again in one day? Now that day might be figurative, but it's going to be fast. It's not going to be, as I like to say, a gradual process of education, gradual process of enlightenment, gradual process of coming to terms with their calling. Because as it stands, as this people stands, unless God radically interfered with their heart, their mind, their corporate heart, their corporate mind, they would remain in the condition they're in. Interminably. So it takes an act of God to change them. And we know that that's exactly what God's going to do. And I propose to you that this star event and this alignment of planets and constellations is the beginning of that. It'll be a sign in heaven that God is bringing forth a child. And if we can go back to the Micah prophecy to remind you that therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is to bear will bear. And according to the wording of Revelation 12, we have a birth taking place. And it happens relatively quickly, which is, can a nation be born in a day? Because, as I said, if you let these people go as they're going without divine interference, then nothing's going to happen. So God is going to act. And I kind of looked at this now as the beginning of a stopwatch, of the beginning of God acting. Okay, now I want to go to the passage on the remnant of Israel, because I've always been interested in this, and I see in the parable of the dry bones how God is going to bring Israel back. Because, you know, I'm all about the nuts and bolts of a thing. I like how God is practical. And I'm always excited when I see God doing things in a nuts and bolts fashion. And I like to look into the workings of it. And it's always exciting to me when I see God does give the workings of it. He doesn't shy away from that for those who want to look. This is from Ezekiel 37, verses 15 through 28. This is what the remnant of Israel, those who lean toward Israel, want. Even the proselytes. As you know, I believe that there are many in this country and around the world who are scattered, who are actually way back when Israelites. I call it the remnant. And there's many, many, many millions more who are apostate Israelites. They need to be woke up. They still are not understanding their call. But the remnant does understand their call, and they realize that they can't worship God, the God of Abraham, properly without a temple. So they were really looking forward to the temple being rebuilt. But in the meantime, they're holding fast to the promises. So where are the 144,000 going to come from? And if this event marks the beginning of a move of God to bring this event in the heavens, Revelation 12, September 23rd, lining up, 2017. If this is the beginning of a move of God, then who's he acting upon? And where are these people coming from? Where are the 144,000 who could possibly be awakened on this date or begin to be awakened? Where are they coming from and where will they go? Two questions. Where are they coming from? Where will they go? Number one answer. They're coming from the places where they've been scattered. And God said that he would scatter the house of Israel among every nation on the earth. And many of them have lost their national identity. You've heard of the lost 10 tribes of Israel. Well, it's true. The 10 tribes that were taken into the northern captivity, the Assyrian captivity, never returned to the land. Unlike those of the house of Judah and Jerusalem, they went to Babylon. They did return to the land. Where did these 10 tribes go? They were scattered. So they became amalgamated into other nations, and they lost their national identity. I've shared this story with you, how I asked James Corum of the Concordant Publishing Concern. The Concordant Publishing Concern, including A. E. Nock, by the way, believe that anyone who believes in Jesus today is automatically in the body of Christ. I reject that. I leave room for the remnant. So I leave room for a people who can legitimately respond to their gospel, right? You understand that? They believe in Jesus Christ, just like in the first century. We still have two evangels. We still have two evangels going on the earth today. We have the evangel of the uncircumcision. You and I grasp onto that. And we have the evangel of the circumcision. And some would say that the circumcision evangel is obsolete. Nobody can believe it today. I say, why? Why can't people believe it today? People are leaning toward it today. Many Christians, you know, are leaning toward the Gospels. They lean toward James. They lean toward Israel things. They lean toward the feast. They love the feast. They love all things having to do with Israel. I say these can legitimately be holding the circumcision evangel. It's not the active evangel. It's an evangel in waiting. But that's how it was in the first century. There were Jews and Greeks. There were people who were alive during that time that were mingling, who were of different evangels. Peter and Paul, great example. The progenitors of that whole thing. Peter and Paul are of different evangels. One's for the circumcision, Peter. One's for the uncircumcision, Paul. And yet they're walking around. They're going to the same wedding feast. They're sitting at a table together, drinking coffee together. Why can't they hold to different evangels even while recognizing each other's call? Well, today, why can't that happen today? Why can't there be circumcision and uncircumcision people mingling? You say, well, in Peter's day, they had the temple. Well, after 70 AD, they didn't have the temple. So they didn't have the temple. What did they do? This is why Hebrews was written. Paul wrote Hebrews to comfort those Jews, those Israelites who were holding fast to the Abrahamic promises and yet didn't have a temple, could not fulfill their calling. They had to wait for it because an unprophesied administration had come in. So they were now to hold fast to the promises without having received the promises. Probably they would die without receiving the promises, and that's what happened. But now we're in a day where they're not going to die. They're actually going to receive the promises. Just as there is a generation that will be alive when Jesus Christ returns for the body of Christ, there will be members of the body of Christ alive when Jesus Christ returns for the body of Christ. Thus also there will be members of the circumcision calling alive when these things begin to happen, then when this constellation shows up, and when God begins to work again, bring Israel back onto the front burner. So these people are coming from all over the world. And I asked Jim Corum about this. Why couldn't there be, say, a guy living in Iowa who is an Israelite from way back? He's part of the Lost Ten Tribes, let's say. If he could literally trace his genealogy, he would be related to the Northern Ten Tribes. But now he's an American. He's an Iowan. But his ancestors came from England. Where did those ancestors come from? You have to keep tracing it back. And I'm saying, why couldn't this guy then, he has Israelite blood, he could jump his nationalistic ship and join the uncircumcision like Paul did, but let's say he doesn't. Let's say he has an antenna for the circumcision gospel. Why can't this guy legitimately be grasping onto his evangel? Why do we have to force this guy into the body of Christ? Why do we say, don't worry, no matter how much you don't like Paul, no matter how much you don't like to read Paul, no matter how much you don't understand Paul, you're still of Paul. We're forcing a square peg into a round hole by doing that. Let the guy go. Let him legitimately grasp his gospel. So that's where these people are coming from, who are going to be awakened. They're going to come from all nations. They're going to come from Iowa. They'll come from Iowa for reasons they can't understand. Yeah. Is this heaven? No, it's Iowa. But Iowa, there are Israelites in Iowa who don't know they're Israelites, who have a hankering for the circumcision gospel, who will be woke up, and who all of a sudden want to go to Israel. There are going to have to be seven ecclesias in Israel at the end, during the final years of Millennium 6. So that's where these people are going. First question, where are they coming from? They're coming from Iowa. They're coming from New Jersey. They're coming from France. They're coming from England. They're coming from Brazil. They're coming from Australia. They're coming from all over the world because that's where they're scattered. And there's going to be an awakening, a national awakening. We all talk of the national awakening of Israel, but a national awakening consists of people, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Don't nations consist of people? The nation Israel contains Israelites. And so they have to be woken up. And I'm going to give you a passage here, the Valley of Dry Bones, to explain to you how this will happen. Where are they going? They're going to migrate to Israel. That's what I will look for after September 23rd, 2017. I'm not really looking for the snatching away. It could happen on that date because the body of Christ has to come in first. But does Paul in Romans 11:25 and 11:26, is Paul talking about the remnant coming in, or not the remnant, but the 144,000, or is he that the body of Christ needs to come before that? If that's the case, then we have to be out of here before September 23rd. If September 23rd is the beginning of the awakening of Israel, the birth of the sons, the birth of the many sons that God will bring to glory. Or as Micah 5 says, 5:3, therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is to bear will bear, and the rest of his brothers. That's what we're talking about right now, the rest of his brothers. We're not talking about members of the body of Christ here, because this is, I'm reading from Micah. The rest of his brothers shall return to the sons of Israel. The prophet mean here, to the sons of Israel? I think that's the root of the tree, to the sons of Israel, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They will return to the sons of Israel. And this could also mean a migration to the literal land. 1948 or 1967, whatever, the when Israel became a state, was it 1948? That's not the prophesied coming back to Israel. It's important that the state be established. It's important that there be an Israel. But the people there are imposters. The Orthodox Jews, they don't even recognize their Messiah. So these aren't the people. It's the parable of the wedding feast. Jesus said those who were at the feast or near the feast in the environment were invited and they would not come. So Jesus, in the parable, they were invited and they refused. They crucified their Messiah. So in the parable, the master of the wedding feast said, go out into the streets, go out into the country, go out and find other people. Since the nearby people, the sons of the kingdom, if you want to call them that, since they rejected it, will go out and find other people. Do you think he's going out and finding random other people? Or is he going out to find Israelites? Or even, I'll accept this, proselytes of Israel. He's going out to find Israelites. And in a place where people thought there was no witness to God, there was, in a place when they, this is what the Valley of Dry Bones is about, dried up is our expectation. In the place where they thought their expectation was dried up, we're going to find there were a bunch of Israelites there after all. And then he's going to call them from the north, south, east, and the west, and he's going to bring them to Zion. And I showed you in a previous video, I gave you a link to a video where Zion is. It's in Israel. This also speaks figuratively of the rule of Israel, because the king will be in Zion. David will once again inhabit Zion. That's where he lived before. So tomorrow I'll go to the Valley of Dry Bones, and I'm going to read that passage to you. I might have talked to you about this back in the bunker days. I think I did, but I'm going to do it again because now we're talking about a constellation that marks a birth. And I'm telling you the nuts and bolts of it, how this birth happens. It's going to be a light bulb going on over people's heads. They're going to be illuminated, I would say, instantly. Can a nation be born again in one day? See, all this stuff happens quickly, swiftly, as John says at the beginning of this account. It's like when Jesus healed people, what did he do? He didn't send the man who was blind away to do eye exercises. Make a follow-up appointment with me in 2 weeks and we'll check on your progress. No, he healed him instantly. So this is an instantaneous rising. It's an instantaneous awakening. And I think it starts on September 23rd. It has to start sometime.